Good morning, everybody. Good. Just give me a minute just to get set up here. I got some notes this time. Kind of a little reminder about last time I was up here. First, let me just remind everybody that there is a free King James Bible on the table here. I'm still giving these away to anybody who wants one. Let's open in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his willingness to go to that cross, be lifted up and bear our judgment, die for our sins, that we all may be saved and brought into thy family. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, we ask you to bless the reading of thy word. Lead us all on by thy Holy Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, just a little reminder on the last time. We went through the history of sin. Last time I was up here. We went through the history of sin, how it started with the devil in heaven. Because of his pride, he rebelled against the Lord. And he got kicked out of heaven. We read that through Isaiah. And he got his fate sealed in the lake of fire. But before he goes to the lake of fire, he ended up on this earth. And then we read through Genesis how he influenced Adam and Eve to sin against God when they ate of the forbidden fruit. And since Adam ate of the fruit that he wasn't supposed to eat, he sinned against God. And since we're all part of Adam's race now, we're all born into sin. Now we're all subject to dying in our sins. Jesus says in John 8:21, if you die in your sins, where he is in heaven, you cannot go. So that means the only other place you can go is a lake of fire with the devil. So we're all born into sin now because we're all part of Adam's race. There's nothing we can do about being born into sin. That's just the way it is. We're born into sin. What we got to do is be saved from our sins. Remember I showed you this tract that had a big impact on me? It says, what must I do to go to hell? You open it up and you think there's going to be something bad in there, but when you open it up, it says nothing. You don't got to do anything to go to hell. You're already born into sin. Believe it or not, we're already destined to go to hell. So once we get to an age of maturity, we are responsible for being born in our sins. We are responsible for coming to Christ to be saved. Now, I just want to remind us, see, in order for us to be saved, we've got to remember what the danger is of not being saved, what we're being saved from. So in order to know that we need to be saved, we need to know what we're being saved from. I'm just going to point out a couple of verses here in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. In the same chapter, if we read verse 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is what we're in danger. This is what the danger is. If we die in our sins, we cannot go where Christ is in heaven. We go to the lake of fire with the devil. Now, since this is a message of salvation today, I just wanted to point that out. We're gonna begin in 1 John, the Epistle of John, chapter 4. The first Epistle of John, chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loves us so much. He does not want us to die in our sins and go to hell. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, it helps to know propitiation means the atoning sacrifice. And it helps to further know the word atonement. I looked this up in the dictionary. Atonement means the reconciliation of God and mankind through the death of Jesus Christ, his Son. I got this right from the dictionary, believe it or not. The reconciliation of God and mankind through the death of Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, considering this is a message of salvation, I like to use one of my favorite stories in the Bible for an outline. So if you'd like to just turn to Luke chapter 18, I'm going to use a little story in here about Bartimaeus. Some of you probably know the story, but I like to use it for an outline today. Now, you might just want to stay right there in Luke chapter 18, because I'm going to bring out verses that relate to salvation to this story. Because there's a lot of similarities in this story that relate to salvation. And I'm just going to bring out the verses and read them to you that come out in this story. So we're going to read Luke chapter 18, verse 35 through 43. And it came to pass that as Jesus was come nigh into Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So here, right, we're going to go right through each verse. Verse 35, we have two characters here. We have Jesus and we have Bartimaeus, the blind man. Now, Bartimaeus is going to represent each one of us who needs to be saved, who's still in our sins. And each and every one of us can put ourselves in Bartimaeus' shoes, because each and every one of us at one point in time needed to be saved. We were still in our sins. We all needed to be saved at one point in time. We all did come to Jesus. Maybe there's somebody today who still needs to be saved. So the first point I like to bring out in salvation is, first, we all need to be saved. We can all put ourselves in Bartimaeus' shoes in our sins. The second point is Jesus is near to each and every one of us today. I'm going to use a lot of well-known verses. I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to read verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and him with me. That means Jesus is saying that he wants to save us. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to indwell us. He stands right at our heart right now, right at the heart's door, and knocks. Anyone who hears his voice and opens the door and lets him come in, he will save you. But we've got to remember, he's not always going to be standing there. There comes a time when either we die or God just says, okay, you don't want my son? Then I'll just stop striving with you. God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. So let's remember, Jesus is right there at our heart's door right now, knocking, waiting to save each and every one of you. Everyone in this world, all you got to do is accept him. Let him come in. Let him save you. Let him come in. Let his spirit indwell you. Now, we're going to stick with our outline here in Luke chapter 18. So, verse 36. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from eternal death with the lake of fire into eternal life and glory with Jesus Christ himself. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 9. Jesus says unto you, "He that have ears to hear, let him hear." Hear the news of salvation. Jesus wants you to hear the news of salvation. Open your ears, hear the news of salvation, consider it. Second with our outline, verse 37. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. They're saying, Jesus is near, he's passing by. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Going to read verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? God wants us to preach the news of salvation to people. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, "The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few." Now, we do not need some great opening by the Holy Spirit to reveal the gospel to somebody. Jesus already told us, preach the gospel to all people. You might want to just work on the method a little bit, but that takes a little practice. But it does work. Believe me, it does work. Verse 38. And he cries, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He's crying out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now he's crying out, "Thou son of David," which means he knows that Jesus is the Messiah, which means he knows that he is the Savior. So it could be like him crying out, "Jesus, the Savior, have mercy on me." So in order for all of us to be saved, we must know who Jesus Christ is. Now, first, I want to point out that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who say, "Oh, Jesus was a good man or a great teacher," but they don't understand the fact that Jesus, yes, he's a great man, he is a great teacher, but he is the Son of God. So I simply want to state Jesus is the Son of God. Mark chapter 1. Only the perfect Son of God is able to save us from our sins. Mark chapter 1, right in the beginning, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There it is. The gospel of Mark starts right off by telling you Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we have a little example when Jesus gets baptized in the River of Jordan, down here in verse 9 through 11. Now, John was sent to bear witness that of Jesus Christ. And here he has a great witness. Look at verse 9 through 11. This is where John baptizes Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is a picture of the scene here. John is baptizing Jesus in the River Jordan. Jesus, the Son of God, coming up out of the water. John sees the Holy Spirit descending from heaven and remaining upon Jesus right as he's in the water. And God the Father speaking from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Picture of the Trinity right here. It's a great picture. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, all in one picture. To continue with the Son of God, let me use another example. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I like this example as well. We're going to read verse 28 and 29. And when Jesus was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, that so no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come here to torment us before our time?" Now look at this picture here. We have a tomb where two men that are possessed with demons are inside the tomb living there. And nobody would pass by that way because they were afraid. And then Jesus walks by the tomb and the demons cry out, "Jesus, thou Son of God, you come here to torment us before our time." They know they're going to the lake of fire. They didn't want to go there before their time. So even the demons recognize Jesus as the Son of God. Now we go to the end of the Gospels. Let's go to John. Go to John chapter 20. We're at the end of the Gospels. We have John, the last Gospel. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We're going to read verse 31. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Life through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now I want to point out that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, and he is the Savior indeed. Let's go back to the Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 14. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Here it is. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, the Savior of sinners. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Christ Jesus is the Savior of sinners. So right here, let's just pause for a minute and just understand, digest the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. He is the perfect Son of God that died for our sins on the cross. Christ is the Savior. Now we go in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 5 and 6. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." The one mediator between God in heaven and man on earth is Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. He gave himself a ransom for all when he was dying on the cross for our sins. He gave himself for all of us. The one mediator between God and man is the man Christ Jesus, the Savior. Simply just want to point everybody to the Savior. Now, there's a little example that I like in John chapter 4. After Jesus gave the truth to the lady at the well, I want to just, there's a little example that I like. So let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. So after Jesus revealed the truth to the lady at the well, the Samaritan, we come to verse 40. Let's read verse 40 through 42. So when the Samaritans were come unto Jesus, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Simply pointing out that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Witnessed here by these people, written down for all of us to understand and to live by. Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, the Savior of sinners. Now we're going to stick with our outline here. Okay, so I think we're in verse 39 now. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. So despite all the opposition telling him, oh, be quiet, don't say anything, he continues to seek Jesus despite the opposition. Now, if we want to be saved, that's exactly what we should be doing, despite all the distractions out there in this world. Now, remember, he was begging. This was his job. This was his survival. I mean, I'm not telling you to quit your jobs, but what I'm saying is make it a top priority to come to Christ to be saved. Let's not get caught up in all the distractions of this world, even our responsibilities. Let them not consume us. Let's focus in on Christ the Savior. Now, I want to use an example I like in Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Yes, I'm using a lot of verses that I like that are favorite to me. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read about Enoch in verse 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. I mean, God took him to heaven. It's a good picture of the rapture here. But before his translation, before God took him to heaven, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So despite the opposition, he continues to seek Jesus. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6. God says, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. God's telling us, seek the Lord while he may be found. The time could come, you could die and your fate would be sealed and you won't have a chance to seek the Lord then. Or the Lord could come back and take all his people off this earth and everybody left would be facing the tribulations and believing a lie and you won't come to Christ at that point. So seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Look, if Bartimaeus could have just let Jesus walk on by and then nothing would have happened. Now we too can just let Jesus walk on by. He's out there at the door. We won't open the door to let him in. We can do that as well. God will let you reject his son, but he will not let you into heaven if you do. So seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now we're at verse 40 in our outline. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. Jesus is saying, come unto me now. Jesus is saying, come. Jesus wants everybody to come to him. And I know a lot of people out there, they don't want to come to a holy God. They know that Jesus Christ is holy and they're not, and that's a good start. But they don't want to come to Christ because he's holy and they're still in their sins. They run away from it. You know, men hate the light. They love darkness. But if you know that all your sins can be forgiven, you can be made righteous in front of God, why wouldn't you want to come to Christ? So come to Christ while you can. While we're in Isaiah, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 18. Verse 18. God says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." See, even though we're in our sins, and Christ is holy, we don't want to come to him, but if we know that we can come to Christ and be forgiven, and be made righteous in front of Christ, why wouldn't you want to come to him? "Come now, even though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You can be forgiven and stand righteous in front of Christ. Now we're going to go to a verse I like in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." "Come unto me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," Jesus says. All you that are troubled, you're burdened in your sin, Jesus is saying, "Come unto me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest unto your souls. Walk with me," he's saying. "I'm humble, I'm peaceful. Learn of me." Peaceful, humble, graceful. Walk with the Lord peacefully all the way to heaven. "I will give you rest unto your souls." Now, this reminds me of an example I saw. I saw a conversion years ago. It was a heavy metal guitar player. He's sitting on the floor in this room. And there's drugs and alcohol all around him. He was one of the main players in the band. And he was troubled about his sin. He wanted to believe Christ. He wanted to be saved, but he's troubled. And he's sitting there with all this in front of him. He's like, "Oh, Jesus Christ, if you were really true, if you're really true and you really will save me, tell me and I'll follow you." He picks up a Bible right there next to him. He opens it up. "I want to know right now," he says. He opens it up. He looks down and sees the words of Christ screaming out at him. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He sees that. He says, "Okay, there it is. It's settled." He threw away all the drugs and alcohol. He closed the Bible and said, "This is it. I will follow Christ." And he quit the band and everything. Quit the band and just left it all behind. And despite all the glory and the millions they were going to give him to stay in the band, he was like the main man in the band that everybody was following. So he quit the band and just let it all go and follow Christ. And he was saved when he turned to Christ for the forgiveness of sins. He was saved. And I saw him in a documentary not too long ago. And they were asking him all the questions. "Oh, why you quit the band?" And he told them, "If I found Jesus Christ," and he really pointed out to me the truth. And you know, finally at the end of the interview, they asked him, "Well, what are you doing now?" Everybody wants to know, "What are you doing now?" He says, "Well, believe it or not, I didn't realize I had a passion for kids' stories and songs for kids." Now, and then he was writing stories for kids and playing songs for the kids, and everybody, all the kids loved him, right? He was one of those guys that had that people kind of were attracted to, right? And now he's playing singing stories and guitar music for the kids. It was such a wonderful sight to see that. A tear even came down from my eye, and I don't cry much anymore. When I saw that, he was playing songs for the kids, writing stories. I didn't know I had a passion for kids' stories and songs. And he was happy with that. Lord had blessed him, fully blessed him, and now he's giving a testimony saying, yes, I'm playing songs for the kids. And all the little kids love him. Oh, yeah, sing a song, tell me a story, right? So I just wanted to share that because I thought that was great. When we were going to the park, I saw the documentary right before going to the park with the Gospel Outreach. And I was like, oh, wow, that kind of energized me to go to the Gospel Outreach. I was like, that was great. So come unto the Lord, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, come unto the Lord. He will save you. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 37. Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Anyone who comes to Christ will not be turned away. All that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter, even if you hated Christ in the past, didn't even like him, if you come to him now, you will not be turned away. I will in no wise cast out. Jesus says it. You can quote him at his word. That's what I do. I start quoting Jesus at his word. Start quoting God. You said, if I come to you, I will not be turned away. I will not be cast out. Okay, in verse 41, back to our outline, Jesus asked him a question. He says, what will thou that I should do unto thee? He asked him a question. What do you want? So the question is to all of us today, what do we want? We want to be saved. We want to be saved from our sins. We don't want to go to hell and fire. We want to go to heaven. But we notice, before he even replied what his request was, he says, Lord. He calls Jesus Lord. He's confessing Christ as Lord. Right from his heart, he's confessing Christ as his Lord. We know the scriptures say we have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. This is a personal verse to me. This is the verse that I started using to quote Christ. This is okay. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There it is. He's confessing Christ as Lord. He already believed that Christ was the Savior. Now he's confessing him as Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There he is confessing with his mouth what has already taken place in his heart. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There it is again. If that's not an invitation, I don't know what is. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, and then he makes his request known, that I may receive my sight. So let's make our request known. We want to be saved. Let's turn to Psalm, the book of Psalms, chapter 32. Psalm 32. I'm going to read verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Acknowledge means to admit as true. To admit as true, let's admit the fact that we're sinners. Let's come to Christ, admit it. Dear Jesus Christ, I am a sinner that needs to be saved. I will trust you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Make your request known to Christ. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. There it is. There is the answer. He will forgive you of your sins. It's all about salvation here in this message. Coming to Christ to be saved. And look at verse 42. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. Saved by faith. Faith in Christ. As Lord and Savior, you want the forgiveness of sins? Come to Christ to be saved. He will forgive you. Saved by faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:26. You are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You will be saved. And look at here, verse 43. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. The conversion happens that quickly in someone's heart. When you truly want to be saved from your sins and you will trust Christ, you will come to Christ and trust him as your Lord and Savior. When that conversion takes place in your heart, it happens immediately. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved immediately. When that conversion takes place, you will be saved. There is salvation, saved by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, and he followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. He followed him. Now, if I may just say, after you have trusted Christ, you came to him for the forgiveness of sins, and you have trusted him as your Lord and Savior, anytime you follow the Lord after that, it glorifies God. And a lot of times, people, when they see it, they will give praise unto God as well. Now, scripture, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, let's read verse 13 through 16. Jesus says, you are all the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Salvation by faith in Christ Jesus, trusting him as your Lord and Savior. Following him glorifies God. Be saved today. God says today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. So let's just close in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for his willingness to go to that cross to bear our judgment and die for our sins, that we may be saved. Father, we thank you that we're able to come to him now and be saved. We know that today is a day of salvation. We thank you, Father. Thank you for this day of grace. Now we ask you to bless the remaining of this day. If there's any here that have not yet placed their trust in Christ, help them to do so. They may glorify thee as well. Thank you, Father. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.